Turn with me, please, in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, we'll be coming back to that portion in Luke 16 in the course of the message. But Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 3 is our text tonight. And as you're finding your place, could I just thank the Reverend Foster for the opportunity to come and speak night after night. I do count it a privilege to be here to preach God's Word. And it's been a blessed week. And I trust that even this week, and especially tonight, the Lord will be pleased to speak with your soul and deal with your heart, and that you'll leave this mission tonight gloriously saved and on the road to heaven's glory. Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 3, just the start of that verse where ask the question. It's a question that all of us need to realize the answer to. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We're looking at the title tonight, Escape in Time. Escape in Time. But with our Bibles open before God, let's seek the Lord's face in a word of prayer together, please. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in the Lord's presence. And let us pray together. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for every aspect of this meeting tonight. We thank Thee for the one that has led, and even the gospel snippets that have been brought in between each item of praise and reading and testimony. We thank Thee for the help given there. We thank Thee for the very clear word of testimony about God's goodness in the life of Christine. And we thank Thee for the ladies that sung so beautifully those wonderful truths of salvation by grace alone. But, O God, give us help in the preaching of Thy Word now. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me tonight. And I pray that the Word of God may go forth with great might and with great power and save a soul this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. George Whitefield was a very famous preacher, not only in the British Isles, but also in the Americas in the 1700s. He was a man that God used mightily, along with others like John and Charles Wesley, to see revival brought both on this side of the Atlantic and the other as well. And many souls are saved through George Whitefield's ministry. And one day, George Whitefield was preaching in the very beautiful, stately home of Lady Huntington. Now, Lady Huntington was the one that had been saved by God's grace, and she used her money and her influence in her homes to try and win all of her fancy and wealthy friends to Christ. And she invited George Whitefield, the preacher, to come along to her home. She had packed the drawing room with the most people she could, the influential people of society. And George Whitefield began to preach and began to warn of eternity and began to warn of the wrath to come. And as George Whitefield was preaching, he preached in such an intense way, with such graphic detail as he spoke. He gave this illustration of a blind man that was continuing on, walking and walking and walking, and heading closer and closer and closer to a cliff edge. And the way George Whitefield brought it across, that this blind man was unaware of his surroundings, and slowly, step after step, after step. He was coming to this impending doom. There was an abyss that he was about to fall into. And the sermon, the illustration was so graphic that one of these influential men sitting in the congregation, he jumped up to his feet and he said, "Mr. Whitfield, tell him, warn him about the cliff." And George Whitfield had the privilege of then likening that blind man to that man in his sin and telling him that as we walk through life still in our sin, every step we take is another step closer to hell. And therefore, we need Christ. Therefore, we need the warning. Therefore, we need somebody to tell us, however unpopular it may be, however aggravating it may be, we need someone to tell us and say, doom is coming, there is danger ahead, hell is there, will you not turn around in time? And on the last night of this gospel mission, that is my task to you. The Bible says of me, the preacher, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So I have a task to perform tonight. And that task is very simply, very plainly, to warn you in your sin, like warning that blind man, that there is danger ahead, that there is peril ahead if you continue in your sin, and what you need tonight is Christ and His saving love. Now I want you to note from our text, look at it again please. We find that illustration given in the verse that there's danger ahead. And it says in Hebrews 2 verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want you to notice three things with me tonight. Number one, the escape needed. The escape needed. It says, how shall we escape? That means there's danger. If you think of it like this, if you were in a burning building and you have a fire escape, you have an option that you can run to and you can flee through, and the fire escape will lead you to safety. Well, friend, you need to escape tonight because you're in peril. You're in doom. If you're still in your sin, then you are heading not just to fire, but eternal fire, eternal punishment, eternal wrath. And the question is posed, how shall we escape? You know, my friend, you may be here tonight and you say, preacher, you're being a bit fanciful, you're being pedantic, you're exaggerating, surely it can't be that bad. Oh, I enjoy my sin, but I'm not really a bad person. You're just exaggerating. You're just trying to scare me into believing. You're just trying to scare me into getting saved. Friend, you can think what you like, but I tell you this, your sin and my sin is more serious than even we understand. Because God is a holy God. God's law is a holy law. And we break God's law day in, day out. And we have this great mountain of sin. Sin after sin after sin after sin. And friend, if I tried to review my sin after only 27 years, I would lose count after the very first week I was counting in. Friend, our sin is a huge and a weighty load. And our offense against God is serious because God is a just God. God is a fair God. God is so fair that He has to punish sin. Now you think of it this way. If somebody that you knew and you loved dearly, you think about somebody, I mean this, everybody in this gathering tonight, everybody, think of one person who you love in this world above anybody else. And you think if somebody brutally murdered that person that you love, what would you expect? You'd expect the police to go and hunt after that murderer. You would expect the police to arrest that individual when they found him. You would expect that man or that woman to be brought into court. You would expect the full force of the law to go against that person once a guilty verdict was given. But you imagine, if that murderer stood in the dock and said, "Well, Your Honor, I did murder that person, but I'm a good person, really. Oh, it's the first crime I've committed, so will you let me off?" What would you say if the judge turned around and said, "Oh, yes, you can walk free. I'm not going to deal with your punishment. I'm not going to hand out a sentencing for your crime. I'm just going to let you off scot-free." What would you say? Now, if you are normal in your reactions, you'd say, "That just can't be done. There has to be a punishment for the crime. There has to be a sentencing for the murder. Justice has to be done. That individual has got to be dealt with if that is a good and honest and a fair judge." Well, my friend, it's the same with our sin tonight. You can't get off scot-free with your sin. God is a good judge. God is a fair God. He is a righteous God. He is a just God. And He has to deal with our sin. And our sin is serious. And therefore, because of our sin, you read in the scriptures, as the Reverend Foster read to us, of a place called hell. Now, I want to put away a myth tonight. The devil is not in charge of hell. The devil is not some prison warder in hell. Hell is God's. God created hell. And God created hell as the place of punishment for sin, because the law has to be dealt with. Sin cannot go unpunished. And come with me, please, to Luke chapter 16. Because as I told you last night, with my friend in the workplace, and he had this trivial idea of hell, and he thought hell would be a rock concert, and he thought hell would be a great time with his buddies. I want to tell you from Luke chapter 16 that hell is very serious, and I want to tell you this, that there's no fire escapes in hell. When you're in hell, that's it, friend. There's no turning. There's no escape. There's no getting out. It's not some form of purgatory like the Roman Catholic Church would teach. There is no getting out of it, friend. Hell is real, and hell is eternal, and hell is forever. And we read of it in Luke chapter 16. Look what we read in the verse 23 of Luke 16. We read this rich man, and he had everything that money could buy. He had all the comfort of this world. He had everything his heart could desire. But there's one thing he didn't have that Lazarus, the beggar, did have. This rich man had everything, but he didn't have Christ. He didn't have God's so great salvation. He wasn't prepared to meet his God. And it says in the verse 23, of this rich man and in hell. Have you got that yet, friend? In this place of torment, in this place that is God's set aside place for punishing sin. In hell, he lift up his eyes. Look what it says now. Being in torments. That's serious. That's eternal agony. That is eternal wrath. That is eternal punishment for your and my sin. Being in torments. And look what it says in the verse 24. I can't get this across as ably as I would like tonight. But you know, sometimes, and I was glad the Reverend Foster read this verse the way he did, because he emphasized this point. Friend, we can read the Bible and we can read it in such a drab and a dry way, and we can forget about the meaning of it even in the way we read at times. But there's an emphasis here. This isn't a whisper that we're going to read in the verse 24. This isn't some muttering to his boots. This is a cry of anguish and agony. And look what it says in the verse 24. And he cried. You see, this is serious. There's a torment. There's an anguish on his soul. And he cried and said, what did this man cry? What did this man say? Look at the verse 24. He said, Father Abraham, have you got that yet? There's an anguish here. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. And look what he asks for. It's not a big thing. He's not asking for his millions from his bank account. He's not asking for his purple robes. He's not asking for a stately banquet. He's not asking for the comforts that he'd enjoyed throughout his life. He says in this anguish that Lazarus would be sent. And it says, look at it, friend. It's so serious and solemn that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Why? For I am tormented in this lane. Oh, friend, have you got it yet? Do you realize yet that this is what Hebrews is telling us to escape from? This is what Hebrews is warning us. Why have you not fled to Christ yet? Look at Hebrews 2 and the verse 3 again. Maybe you didn't think it was too serious when I read it to begin with. But let's read it again. It says in Hebrews 2 verse 3, how shall we escape? There's danger ahead. There's fire ahead. There's eternal wrath for sin ahead, friend. And I ask you tonight in this meeting, what on earth are you waiting for? Because Christ has died. And Christ has provided a way. And Christ has provided the fire escape, the escape route. And I ask you, friend, what are you waiting for? Because tonight, we need to escape. But look what we find now in the verse again. It says, not only the escape needed, how shall we escape? But it says in the verse, if we neglect so great salvation. I want you to note in this subject, escape in time, folks, that we see number one, the escape needed, but we find number two, the salvation offered. The salvation offered. Oh, friend, look what we're reading now. We read that, yes, we need to escape. We read of hell. We read of sin. We read of wrath. We read of torment. We read of agony. We read of a lack of water. We read of all of these things. But look what we read in our verse. Not only of the need to escape, but it says about so great salvation. Oh, friend, hell is a very real and a very serious and a very solemn punishment. But I want to tell you tonight, there's great salvation on offer. It's not just salvation. The verse says it's great salvation. Do you want to know why it's great salvation? Because when Christ left heaven's glory, and when Christ came to this earth of ours, and when Christ fully obeyed the law, when Christ lived a perfectly righteous life, and when Christ then died upon the tree, when Christ with arms outstretched and nails in his hands and nails in his feet and a crown of thorns upon his brow, and as the blood flowed out of his open wounds, as Christ died, he didn't just suffer a physical punishment, but he suffered all hell. He suffered that hell that is recorded in Luke 16. And he suffered that hell for all of the sins of all of his people. Have you got that yet? That Christ's torment, it was more than the two thieves either side of him. It was more than the nails. It was more than the lashings. It was more than the thorns. It was more than the mocking. It was more than the spittle. It was more than the physical things. It was the fact that God's wrath, God's hell was put upon his soul. And he died for our sins. What love that is. What great salvation that is. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, there's salvation offered tonight. Christ died. Christ has provided a way. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way. What is that way? It's the fire escape. It's the way out. It's the way past judgment. It's the way past hell. It's the way past our sin. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And look what else it says. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, there's only one escape route. There's only one fire escape. There's only one way you can avoid being like the rich man in Luke 16. There's only one way that you can avoid the torment. There's only one way that you can avoid crying out for one to just dip the tip of his finger in the cool of water and cool his tongue. There's only one way you can avoid that, and that way is Christ. And he is the altogether lovely one. He is the one that tonight in this mission, he stands with arms wide open and he's ready to take you. He's ready to receive you. He's ready to take you up in his loving arms. And he says, I will in no wise cast out. This Christ, friend, this Christ that we've preached for this week of mission, this Christ that I'm trying to preach to you tonight, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. And that's why in this church and in this mission, we preach Christ crucified, because Christ crucified is the only way of escape. He is the great salvation. But then what else do we find from our verse? It says in Hebrews 2 verse 3, not only the escape needed, and the salvation offered, but thirdly, the neglect displayed. Because it says in our verse, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? My friend, I've got to be honest with you tonight. I can't get my head around why anybody would ever neglect that salvation. I can't understand why you may drive into the field tonight acknowledging that you're a sinner, acknowledging that you may go to hell, acknowledging the fact that you've offended a holy God, acknowledging the fact that Christ died, acknowledging the fact the blood was shed, acknowledging the fact that all you've got to do tonight is repent and believe the gospel, acknowledging the fact that right now in your car, in this field, you can get saved. I don't understand how you can drive in, acknowledge all those things, and still drive out without Christ. I don't understand that. Friend, you need Christ. You need his salvation. You need this great salvation. You need his love. You need his grace. You need his mercy. If you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to escape, if you're ever going to go to heaven and home, if you're ever going to flee from the wrath to come, if you're ever going to escape hell, then friend, tonight you need Christ. So I ask you, why? Why are you neglecting him? Why are you despising him? Just in the action of saying, another night, preacher. Another night, preacher. Not tonight. I hear what you're saying, but another night. You know, this evening, we've heard from our sister Christine about conviction and that stone in the shoe illustration. All that nagging feeling all the time. Maybe that's you tonight. And how our sister went on to say that from the earliest of ages she knew about sin and she knew about hell. Friend, maybe that's your story tonight. You know those things. But night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year, you've neglected Christ. You've neglected Calvary. You've neglected His salvation. You've neglected His love. You've neglected heaven. Friend, why on earth are you doing it? Why on earth would you neglect Him when He's given His all for you? Why would you be so foolish? Oh, beloved, listen to me as I read this again. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That is a question. How? Well, if I'm going to neglect Christ tonight, how can I escape? If I'm not going to continue to neglect Calvary, how else can I escape? That's the question that's being put. Is there an alternative route? Is there a second way? Is there another option? I don't like that idea of church. I don't like that idea of holiness. I don't like that idea of Christ. I don't like that idea of sins being covered beneath the blood. And you're saying, I'm going to neglect that option. How can I escape? How shall I escape if I neglect so great salvation? In other words, is there an option too? I want to tell you tonight, there's no other option. It's Christ or damnation. It's Calvary or damnation. It's the blood or damnation. There's no second option. There's no other escape. There's no other road out. Friend, tonight you need Christ. So I ask you, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Oh, beloved, I want you to realize that this is serious. We do not know how long we have. We do not know how long we have left. I'll be honest with you, friend. This afternoon, something happened to me. And when I look back, it was a silly thing in a way. But I'll tell you this. In the moment, I didn't think I'd be preaching here tonight. I didn't think I'd be along for this light of the mission. I really thought that there could have been a moment where I wouldn't be here tonight. And I had great plans. And I had great ambitions. And I had my text on my mind on what I was going to preach and how I was going to preach it and different wee things I was going to say. And there was a time this afternoon and I thought I wasn't going to be here. Because in a moment, in a split second, friend, everything can change. You may say, preacher, I'm healthy now. Preacher, I'm okay now. Preacher, death isn't for a long while yet. Friend, this may sound morbid, but I'll tell you this. We don't even know if we're getting home tonight. All of us are in a vehicle. All of us have to drive the road home, and none of us even know whether we're getting there. We may take for granted the fact that we've had thousands of car journeys in the past. We take for granted that we've possessed good health in the past. We take for granted God's mercy and the oxygen on our chest for year on year on year in the past. But I'll tell you this, friend, my spirit, God's spirit, shall not always strive with man. And one day, God's patience, God's long-suffering, God's extended hand of mercy to your soul, it will end. It will be finished. It will be done. And the fact you're in a gospel mission tonight, the fact you're in the last night of the mission, and you're hearing these words, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It may rub you up the wrong way. You may not like to hear it. You may not like to be confronted with your sin. But I tell you this, it's a mercy of God that there is a church in Dromore that's willing to appeal to your never-dying soul and tell you, you need to prepare to meet thy God. So I ask you, with all of these things said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I plead with you best I can, friend. Escape in time. Now, I'll be honest, because we've been preaching for a week, night after night after night, I've done my best to round it off at 9 o'clock. But give me a moment or two extra of your time. And let me just spend these few moments appealing to your soul on this last night. And there may never be another option like this again for you. There may never be another gospel opportunity. There may never be another gospel service that you have the opportunity and the health to sit in again. And if this be your last night, then understand this, friend. Your sin is serious. Hell is real. But Christ's love is great. His blood is powerful. And tonight, you can come as you are. You can come as you are as a sinner to Jesus. You can come as you are. Forget about your good works. Forget about your church attendance. Forget about your giving to charity. Forget about everything clean living you think may aid you in getting through heaven's gates. Friend, forget about it all. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by ourselves, lest any man should boast. What you need tonight is Christ. And Christ died for us. So I appeal to you the best I can. Oh, friend, I know that in this I am weak, I am unable, and I cannot get across in the right way how serious this is. But, friend, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Friend, quickly, quickly get right with God. For who knows when death will come knocking? Who knows when eternity will begin for you? Who knows when you will be called before God's judgment bar? And you'll have to give an account. And I tell you this, my friend, when you stand before God, and if you stand before him in your sin, you can ask this question all you like. You can say, Lord, is there any way out? But the Lord will say, like he said to the rich man in Luke 16, you have the law and the prophets. You heard the gospel in Dromore. You were there on the Friday night to the mission. And that truth, this sermon, the words of this preacher, the word of our text, it will condemn you further at the judgment. Oh, tonight, friend, will you come? Will you come as you are? Will you come right now? Just in the car, in the vehicle where you're sat. Will you say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And praise God, he'll take you. Praise God, he'll save you. You don't have to do anything else. It's not about works. It's not about good living. It's not about reforming your character. It's not about anything else you can do. It's about that soul reliance, dependence upon Christ by repenting and believing the gospel. Friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I trust you'll do it now. And I trust as we finish that, beloved, you will escape in time. Oh, friend, do it. Flee to Christ now. Flee from the wrath to come. Escape in time. You may not want to believe me, but the Bible tells me that the law of God is written on your heart. And you know what I say is true. It's a matter of whether you're going to do anything about it tonight. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in the Lord's presence, please. And as God's people are praying, friend, will you come to the Lord tonight, just as you are, acknowledging your sin, acknowledging you deserve hell. I deserve hell too, friend. We're in the same boat. But the difference is, I know I can't save me and I can't save you. Only Christ can save. But praise God, he can do it for you now. He can save you. All you've got to do is turn from your sin and trust him. Oh, friend, will you do it? Will you come through for Christ tonight? This is the last night of the mission. There may never be an opportunity like this again. You may never have the privilege of sitting in another mission, in a gospel meeting. But tonight, God has allowed you to hear this word. So tonight, as God's Spirit is calling, tonight, as the love of God is handed to you, tonight, as Christ stands with arms wide open to take you, tonight, will you come? Come as you are. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you want to speak with me, if you want to speak with the Reverend Foster, stay behind tonight. Don't drive out without Christ. Don't drive into the evening tonight without the Savior. Come to him. If we can help, we'd be more than happy to help. We'd talk all night with you if you wanted. But friend, get your priority right and escape in time. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to every heart and save souls, we plead. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.